Brother John, Janice, Alicia, our choir, beautiful spectacle. Proud of our youth and Corey, great job. Good to see a young person get up here, proclaim the truths of the gospel. Today we're going to talk about some things that you may disagree with. It's always been, I don't know, I find this odd in church when people believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and everybody says amen, that he goes to the cross to bear our sin debt, everybody says amen, that he's in the tomb, and he arises on the first day, and everybody says amen, that he stayed on the earth 40 days, and he ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, but yet when you talk about the other end of the spectrum, if there is such thing as a devil, there are demons, people, oh no, not a believer. Well, my prayer today is that the word enlightens your heart and your soul. Because demonic possession, oppression, is as real as you and I sitting here today. And demonic possession is when a demon, which is a fallen angel, and we'll talk about this in the scripture today, of how all this takes place. There's a doctrine in systematic theology called angelology. And in angelology, preachers have preached this sermon since I've heard this sermon all my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to angels. And so we'll talk about this. And so, demonic forces that are here on the earth, not in hell, there are some in the abyss that are chained, as we see through the Word of God, but there are a third that walk to and fro on the earth, just like Satan has the power to do that as well. Those demons pray every time we come to the Lord's house, are not here. But usually, that's where you find them most. Because Satan masquerades as what? An angel of light. That's what he does. And see, he's not interested in the scene out there. He's interested in the scene in here. And so he loves to wreak chaos. He loves to wreak havoc. He loves to destroy what goes on inside the Lord's people's homes, families, churches. What he loves. So, we've got to look at this today, and we've got to get a mindset in systematic theology of angelology, and we've got to look that there is an ugly named Satan. We've got to look that there is the bad, which are the fallen angels, which are demonic forces today. And then, of course, there are the good angels. Praise God. But a lot of people shy away from the talk of demons. Demon possession is when a demon takes hold of a person's body, mind, faculties, and causes that person to do things that person normally wouldn't do. We're going to see this today of a demon-possessed man. As a matter of fact, he had many demons. We're going to see. I have, in my life, encountered demon-possessed people. And I'll tell you a story here. Arthur, here later. When you're in the education business, you come across that. A lot of interesting things. Supernatural. Then we have demon oppression. Demon possession, let's go back to that. You who are saved today by Jesus Christ cannot be demon possessed. You cannot be. He has, listen to me, in 1 John 3:8, listen. In 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God was manifested in his wife, that he might destroy what? The works of the devil. Okay? So we know this. So you who are here today, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he that is within you is stronger than he that is in the world. So if you're saved by Jesus Christ today, you cannot be demon possessed. However, you can be demon oppressed. And this is when Christians begin to dabble into things that they have no business dabbling into. Okay, we'll talk about some of those things here in just a moment. But I think about when I was a teenager. There was a rock and roll band that was really cool. They were called Guns N' Roses. And everybody wanted a Guns N' Roses t-shirt that said Appetite for Destruction. It had skulls on there. And everybody could sing Welcome to the Devil. And as I become a fan of Guns N' Roses, I watched one of their music videos back on MTV when MTV used to play music videos and not the others jumped into it. Axl Rose wakes up from a binge in the video of November Rain, and he goes over to the counter and pours another shot of whiskey and takes his pills, and that's the lifestyle. But let me tell you where it starts. Demon oppression starts by the music that you listen to. If you're here today listening to music that influences you in an ungodly way, I would encourage you, and I'm preaching to myself today, we need to turn that stuff off. Another way that demon oppression can encounter Christians today is the movies and the TV programs that you watch. The TV programs, the movies that you watch, the language that comes out of these movies is ungodly. The immoral lifestyles that are promoted on our TV today are absolutely ungodly. There are shows that I used to really enjoy. I don't even turn the TV on anymore because I'm not going to promote that ungodly lifestyle that's on these television programs. And that is a way of demon oppression that can oppress you. Because what do? You look at these characters in the movies, you look at these musicians, you look at these sports stars, and you say, oh, that's my role model. That's my hero. That rapper, man, he's so cool. And these rappers and the musicians today, the ungodly spewing that comes out of their mouth is straight from the pits of hell. And we wonder why our young people are in the trouble they're in today. We wonder why. But here's the reason. This is demon oppression. And when demon oppression takes hold of you through music and through movies, then the next thing it turns into, especially in our generation today, is the advent of the technology that's before us. Listen to me. These right here are of the devil. They have a gateway that can be opened up and for people to get into. And let me ask you this, and I heard an African-American preacher say this one time. He said, there are more people in my church on Facebook than there are in the good books. And that's the truth. That's of the devil. That's of the devil. He wants to create this conversion, this demersion, if you will, to get your mind off the Word of God and get it on everything else. And that, my friends, listen to me this morning. You may say, I don't believe you want to be. That is demonic oppression. It's demonic oppression. So you watch Axl Rose take a shot of whiskey and take a couple pills, and you're watching music videos, a fan of Guns N' Roses. What's the next thing you want to try? Well, let me try a little shot of that whiskey. Let me mix a few pills with that. And what you do when you open yourself up into addiction through prescription drugs, through illegal drugs, through alcohol, here's what happens next. You have demonic oppression on you like no other, because there's a word in the Greek, in the New Testament, that Paul said, or John says, through the Word of God, these will not inherit the kingdom of God, and people that are of these are of sorcery. We get the English word pharmacy from that. Pharmacy. People who practice sorcery. We think of witches. We think of warlocks. We think of people like that. Satanic, occult. But sorcery in the Greek means pharmacy. It means somebody that is addicted to painkillers, addicted to illegal drugs, addicted to alcohol. Things that change their mind. Alter their mind. Okay? I hope that's not you today. And I'm going to say some things today that may hurt you. And I don't intend for it to, but I want you to look at the Word of God. Because we have a psychology that has infiltrated our churches and our school system and our family today that Christ plus medication can help you. I'm here to tell you today, Christ alone can help you. Christ alone saves you. And there are so many people today that have watered down the gospel and said, oh, but I need this, but I need that, but I need this and I need that. And we have problems galore in our society today. Let me just be honest with you. In our education system today, we have a bunch of zombies. They're over-medicated. They're sitting there acting like a bunch of zombies. I mean, it is, I have, it hurts me when I go into our meetings or I go into counseling meetings or I visit with parents, and the first thing that anybody wants to do is we need to put this kid on medication. That's the last thing you need to do. Again, I said I hurt some feelings today, and I just want to share with you that alcohol, drugs, vaping, other vices from the music, from the movies that oppress you, that demonic oppression gets a hold of you, and then you're enclawed in the traps of the devil, the snare of the devil that Paul tells Timothy about, and he has you. He has you addicted. He has you going down that road. How many of you can witness to that today? Amen? Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure, many of you in here today have gone down that road, but you can say by the grace of God, you've been delivered. There's former alcoholics sitting in here today. You can say you've been delivered. There's former drug addicts sitting in here today. You've been delivered by the grace of God. There's former people in here today that's been addicted to pornography, addicted to other things of the world, and you've been delivered today by the grace of our God, Jesus Christ. So, do I believe it's real? Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's real. It's real. So, I told you Memorial Day weekend, the night, last Sunday in May, that the U.S. government would release a report on UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And I told you that there is no such thing as UFOs per se. There is no such thing as alien life and other planets out there. We know that from the Psalms. So what is these things that are being seen by our military? And do I believe the military are seeing things? Absolutely. Out of the 144 reports, 143 of them come back non-conclusive. We don't know what they saw. We know that the one that was saw was the weather balloon, but the others, we don't know what that is out there. Let me tell you what it is. I heard a preacher preach this a long time ago, back in the 80s. He said, these people that see UFOs, UFOs are not out there. UFOs are coming up from here. That's the truth. Who's the devil? The devil's an angel of light. He masquerades as an angel of light. He is looking to deceive every one of us. And that's what he does. And in this age to come, and there is an age coming where the Antichrist will take control, there is an age coming where there is going to be a one-world government. We're already seeing that, folks. We're already seeing the pictures of a one-world currency. We are seeing the Antichrist coming into power. It's happening before our eyes. I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but after COVID-19, after the vaccine come out, did you know that we're under the Great Reset now? That's why inflation is about to go through the roof. That's why when you go through Whataburger, they said, well, we're out of chicken today. Listen, we are about to get hit like no other. This is about to be the greatest depression that we have ever seen in the history of the world. And you say, well, I don't believe you. I see great things happening in our country. What news station are you watching? Oh, let me guess, CNN. So the UFO report come out, and there was a report that come out that said, we do not know what these things are. Same day on Friday when the UFO report came out, we got a report from the world's largest liberal news network, CNN. It said that a body of a man had been found in a deep water well. And in that deep water well, they have preserved the remains of this man, and this man is the Dragon Man. And he is a part of our family tree that goes back to millions and millions of years of the evolution, quote-unquote, evolution of mankind. And y'all got to follow this, right? Darwinism has creeped into our churches. Marxism is creeping into our churches. And we have to have men and women of God, women in Sunday school classes, men of God in pulpits and teaching in classes that teach the doctrinal truth of the Word of God, not just junk. It's being poured into our Systems. So what are they going to, Mike? Well, it's easy. Satan was what? Satan, when he was expelled from heaven, serpent in the Garden of Eden. What are they going to come up with? Well, the dragon, they all worshiped what in the end times? Revelation chapter 13, they worshiped what? The dragon. What is this that the CNN experts have found to put on the news? They have found the dragon man. We're seeing UFOs. Man, I can see the writing on the wall. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to call his bride home, you and I are out of here. Praise God today. We're out of here. And as we are out of here, there are going to be people left behind. And when they are left behind, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a government system set in place by the Antichrist who worships the dragon. What kind of spectacle are they going to say got the people out of here? They're going to blame it on what? UFOs. Guys, it is easy to see this. Our media, our narrative that is being forced down our throats is pushing to this Antichrist one world system. After the vaccines come out, we are now under that great reset that sets up a perfect system for a one world government. It's there. You say, golly, Michael, you're scaring me to death. I'm glad. We need to be scared to death. We need to know that our hope is not in Donald Trump. We need to know that our hope is not in Joe Biden. We need to know that our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's here. Demon oppression, demon possession. Y'all ready for this? The stand in honor of God's word. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. We have a situation. Then we have a solution. Then we have sins. Check it out. They came to the other side of the sea to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I had to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all of the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed about the swine, that they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And when he got to the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and all marveled. Heavenly Father, praise your name today. What an incredible gift of salvation you gave this man of depravity. Lord, today you give that gift of salvation to us. Lord, we're thankful today that you changed the hearts and souls of mankind. I pray for the lost person today. Lord, that your Holy Spirit convict them like no other. Lord, that they can't leave here today. without you calling them unto yourself. Lord, for somebody here today that may be saved, but they are being demonically oppressed because they are watching things, they are doing things of the world, they're doing things to invite Satan into their home and to attack their families. Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around these people. And Lord, I pray that they repent of their sins and come back to you today. Lord, today open our minds, open our hearts. Lord, in all of this, we see that you reign supreme. Sovereign over all. We praise you for that today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We got a situation on our hands, guys. We got Jesus going through a storm. John told us about that. Jesus was going through the storm with his disciples. And as they're going through the storm, they're going across the Sea of Galilee. And they get there down to the southern part of the Sea of Galilee into this village of the Gadarenes. Gesara is the village there today. It looks exactly as Dr. John MacArthur and other scholars have said, exactly. You look, you see the cliff, you see everything. It's picturesque with this scenery that we're looking at here today. They get to the Gadarenes. Remember what I told you Jesus' mission was? Yes, it's destroy the works of the devil, but we also know that it's what is to seek and save that who is lost. Right? Aren't you thankful that you don't find Jesus? Jesus comes and finds you. Aren't you thankful for that? And so here's what happens. They're on this boat. They're on a mission. They're going to Gentile country. They're going across the sea. They hit a storm. They get through the storm. And then they pull up on shore. It says in verse 2, when he got out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I bet those disciples were thinking, what if I got myself into it? Could you imagine what's going through their minds? Here comes from out of the graveyard a man with an unclean spirit, and he comes to Jesus. This is, the unclean spirit is a demon. It's a fallen angel. Now let's get into angelology, the systematic theology of angelology. Angelology, when we talk about fallen angels, Lucifer was the prettiest angel of all. He was the most beautiful angel of all. He rebelled against God. He wanted the kingdom of God. He wanted heaven. And he was cast out of heaven. As he was cast out, the Bible says in Isaiah, it says in Ezekiel, that a third of the stars, Revelation 12, a third of the stars were cast down with him. As they were cast down with him, a third of the stars. What is a star? Oh, is a star something? No, it's not what it means. Star in the Hebrew, star in the Greek, it means in that certain situation, in that text, it means an angelic being. Angelic being. So Satan was cast to where? To hell? No, he was cast to earth. I know this is going to blow some of your minds this morning. But Satan's not in hell today. Satan walks to and fro this earth. As a matter of fact, he has access to the throne of God. But praise God, one day he's going to be not allowed that access anymore. A third of the stars fell from heaven with Satan to earth. A third of the stars are angelic beings, fallen angels. They walk to and fro on this earth. So you're telling me, Michael, that there's demons among us. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. I don't know about you, but that ought to scare you. That ought to make you pray more diligently. That ought to make you think about more things when you come into the Lord's house. Why do we have all these church shootings? Oh, they're mentally disabled. No, they're not. They're full of demons. Why do we have all these people coming in and disrupting the church and doing things to the church? Those kids from East Texas here that went around and set fire on all these churches. Oh, they're just kids. They made mistakes. No, they're full of demons. Full of demons. And until we realize this from a spiritual standpoint, we'll never be able to fix what the school system tries to fix, what your doctors try to fix through medication. We'll never be able to try to fix this because the only person that can fix this is Jesus Christ. This is proven. So here we go. He's dwelling among the tombs. I've heard people say, well, he was a Jew. No, he wasn't. He was a Gentile. Because a Gentile could be around dead bodies. Jews could not. Jews in the book of Leviticus, it was an aberration to be around dead bodies. They would be considered defiled. So here we go. Look at this about this demon-possessed man. Verse 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs. No one could bind him, not even with chains, verse 4, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and shackles broken in pieces. Neither anyone could tame him. Demonic possession gives people extraordinary strength. This man had been chained, he had been shackled, and he had been tied to these tombs. And he broke the chains, he broke the shackles, he tore them all into pieces. Why? Because he was demonically possessed. Possessed. Let me give you a quick story. I would go to ISD. District Alternative Educational Placement. It's called the DAEP. I would go up there every day to relieve our teacher, to give them a little break. I could talk to the kids. We got to move in. And I knew from the get-go, when we had his ARD meeting, when we had that meeting, and he took off out of that meeting and went and sat in the back of a pickup truck, I knew we was dealing with a demon-possessed kid. But I love education. Oh, he's just misunderstood. I don't know sometimes, folks. So what do we do? We had the manifestation of determination of where he came from. We had to place him in our district alternative placement. We get up there, and the first day that he's there, I'm going up there, and it's warm. It's cold. And I take their lunches to them, and I pass their lunches out to them, talk to them, see how they're doing. And, he don't say nothing to me at first. And I go back there, sit down at the desk, and the kids are working, everything's quiet, and he starts rapping. And it's ugly. I say, hey, we don't do that here. He looked at me, didn't say anything, just turned back, went back to work a little bit, then he started doing it again. So I got up, I walked over to him, and I whispered in his ear. I said, we don't do that here. And he looked at me, and I can't tell you what he told me. He called me everything but nice. Well, I can handle that. And when he did all that, I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm taking you to our superintendent. I'm going to have you expelled. Expelled means they're going to be out of school for a calendar year. I'm not going to have anybody cuss me like that. I'm not going to have our teachers cuss like that. That's ridiculous to be cussed like a dog by a little thing. This kid's 90 pounds soaking wet. He said, will you get close to putting him in restraint? Oh, man, I was thinking so. Do you know what he did? I get over there on the phone to call the superintendent. He opens up the window of the DAEP. As he opens up the window of the DAEP, and folks, I'm not joking, it is a typhoon outside. And he hops out the window like a goddamn map line. He hops out the window of the map, and I try to go out the door to catch him, and he is gone. Out off the road. They caught him down in Alba from the school system. One of our sheriff's deputies got him a little while later down in Alba. He had run that far. And folks, I'm telling you, it was not anything human. What? I've never seen a kid, I don't care how agile or how athletic they are, because this kid wasn't athletic, jump to a window like that and haul like he did down the road. And what happened to him, he went to juvie, and we got a call, and the secretary called me in and said, listen to this, Michael. And they played the recording, and he's cussing everybody out from the school system, and he's talking about coming down there and shoot the school up, and he says, calls me some very colorful names I've never heard of. But anyway, he calls me these names, and he said, now I've got a bullet for you, too. So we turned it over to the cops. Well, he'd been up in Mesquite, and they arrested him in Mesquite. I still don't know where he's at today, but I sure do keep an eye over my shoulder. Right? Now, that little kid, you say, well, that's just his sin nature. You're right, it's his sin nature, but I'll tell you, folks, I've never seen anything in my life like that. He was demonically possessed. They have super extraordinary strength, extraordinary skills, and this was this man. He could break chains, he could break shackles, but listen to this, no one could tame him. People had tried to work with him. My friends in the school business, you try to work with these kids. My parents and grandparents out there, you try to help these kids.
But nobody can tame him. That's why I want you to understand the institution of school, the institution of psychology, the institution of doctrinal medicines cannot tame somebody that is demon-possessed. Well, what happens next? Look at this. Verse 5, always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Here's attributes of somebody that's demon-possessed. They don't ever sleep. They don't ever sleep. They're up all night, all day, and he was up in the mountains and in the tombs, and he was crying out. The Greek word means that he was shrieking. He was howling at the top of his lungs. He was howling like a werewolf, screaming at the top of his lungs. Many of you, I've told this story before, this battle that we had this year, my last year here at Albert Golden, with the pagan family. And the school board meeting erupted. I thought it did. Many people said, oh, it's calm. No problems there. The guy acted crazy. And he goes outside. The sheriff deputy follows him. I go outside. The other principals go outside. When we go outside, he's out there in the parking lot, and he is in complete disarray, howling, and I'm talking howling, every immoral word in the book warning the principals. And as I escorted him off the premises, I asked the sheriff's deputy, I said, I feel threatened by this situation. Can you be here tomorrow? And I'm so proud of Wood County Sheriff's Department. They were there in full force the next day. We had to ban this guy from the campus. And I'll never forget one of my last days at Outgoat Nice Day. I was at a band concert. I'm leaving the band concert. As I leave the band concert, I get my pickup. I'm going. Wayne and Alicia's not far behind me. I'm driving out. Outside that gate is that man in his pickup. He's standing there. And he's standing just like this, staring at me. How do you sleep at night, Michael? It's only by the grace of God. When you stand for righteousness, you will face the devil and his demons. When you bow to their wishes and demands and their commands, then you are submitting yourself to doctrines of demons. This guy was out night and day. He was in the mountains and the tombs. He was crying out. He was howling. And the Bible says he was cutting himself with stones. Cutting himself with stones. Robin can tell you from a counselor standpoint. Alicia can tell you. There's many of you educators in here today can tell you. Kids today have a problem with cutting. Have a big problem with cutting. Where does that cutting come from? It doesn't come from their own sinful desires. It comes from oppression or even maybe possession of demons. Well, my kid's saved. How do you know they're saved? How do you know they're saved by Jesus Christ? It's because you say they are? It's because you say they are? This guy was cutting himself with stones. Self-harm, cutting, is psychosis of the devil. Kids will take razors, paper clips, knives, pencils, pens, whatever they can with a sharp object to cut themselves. The reason they cut themselves, number one, is for emotional relief. One kid in my office said the reason that she cut herself is so she could see if she was truly alive. Number two, kids cut themselves, adults cut themselves for self-punishment. I'm a bad person, so I need to cut myself. Number three, a lot of kids cut themselves because they're crying out for help. And counselors, teachers, anybody that sees a kid crying out for help, we're helping. And then number four, I've seen this in my educational experience for 21 years. I have seen kids cut because of peer pressure. Well, a little friend over here is doing it, so I'll do it too. I'll cut too. I'll tell you, one time my heart just broke. A little girl in my office with a school counselor, you know, it's 105 degrees. And I know the cool thing now is to wear these hoodies, even when it's a million degrees outside. You know, I had a fight with the student body because they were wearing jogging suits during August. I was like, why? They just don't make any sense. And so the little girl took her hoodie off. And she had a short sleeve shirt on, and her arms were just ravaged. And her parents knew nothing about it. Knew nothing about it. You know what that is? It's called absentee parentism. They give them a phone. They give them an iPad. Go there. Don't bother me. Go there and play. Go there and leave me alone. and they don't know anything that's going on in their lives. Nothing. They don't know anything about them. Don't know anything about what's going on in the school. Don't know what's going on in the personal. Don't know what's going on in the park. Don't know nothing about it. Just absentee parents. So how, parents, do you solve this? Or maybe some of you here today is dealing with kids cutting themselves. Well, the first thing you need to show is empathy. That's compliance. The second thing you need to do is have an objective. An objective of discipline. The goal is, if you're going to do this, this is the punishment that's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you something, parents, and you may not like hearing this. There's nothing wrong with spanking your kids.
Amen.
I think we need to get back to that. I think what happened is we've not spanked our kids, and because we've not spanked our kids have gotten totally out of control. Okay? Totally out of control. And then number three, if it comes down to it, you need to find some advocate for them. Some type of advocate for them. People ask me all the time, what kind of counselor can I go to? Don't ever go to a worldly counselor. You always go to a Christian counselor. Always. Always go to a Christian counselor. If they're not a Christian counselor, you do not go. Because let me tell you what the first thing you're going to do. Here's how we need to solve your problem. Let's medicate you. Let's medicate you. And man, when I sit in those ARD meetings, when I sit in those R meetings, and the first thing they want to say is, hey, if we ever considered medication, that is the last thing that needs to be considered. The first thing that needs to be considered is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for the very few amens today. I know. Our church, our churches, our people, we get indoctrinated with this liberal culture where we believe that science and we believe that medicine and we believe that education triumphs the Bible. Shame on us. Shame on us. Cutting himself with stones, what happens next? Jesus saw him from afar. Doesn't this look like the prodigal son to you? Jesus sees him from afar, and the demon-possessed man ran and worshiped. I think that is so cool. Here's this demon-possessed man that's filled with demons, that's acting like a maniac, doing things that are ungodly, and he sees Jesus, and he runs to Jesus, and the Greek word for worship means that he falls down on his knees. He falls down on his knees before Jesus. How in the world would he do that? You know what boggles my mind even more? Why don't we do that? He falls down on his knees before Jesus. Why did he do that? He did that because he knew Jesus. How did he know Jesus? Well, remember, he's one of the fallen angels. Before he fell from heaven, he was in heaven worshiping Jesus. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And look here in verse 7. He cried out with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? John MacArthur said this correctly. Demons have better theology than some of our Christians sitting in Jesus' day. He said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Number one, what did he do? He recognized who Jesus is. He recognized that Jesus is the Son of God, and he recognized in all authority of who God is, that he is the Most High God. I implore you, my God, that you do not torment me. Torment in the Greek means throw into the abyss. Throw into the bottomless pit. Where's the bottomless pit? The bottomless pit was reserved for the angels in Genesis 6:4. Now we're getting into a little deeper things here, but I just encourage you to write this down and research it for yourself. Genesis 6:4, remember, angels came down from heaven. What did they do? They had sex with women, female women here on earth, and they procreated, and they created the Nephilim. The Nephilim became what? The giants, the men of renown, Genesis 6:4. Okay? And as that happened, as they produced this offspring of giants, they were punished into the abyss, into the torment. And that torment is the abyss that is found in Jude, verse 6, and in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 4. These angels are chained. These angels are in the abyss awaiting judgment, and that judgment is eternal damnation in hell. That's their judgment. There's nothing that can help them. Nothing. that can help. He knew Jesus. He said, don't torment me. Don't torment me. So we got a situation, don't we, folks? But aren't you thankful we have the solution? Look at verse 8. For Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? I always get chill bumps when I read this. He answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Woo! That's scary. That's scary. My name is Legion. This man had a name given to him by his parents, but not anymore. This name that he had now was given to him by the devil. My name is Legion, for we are many. Many of you in here who study history know that Legion is a Roman garrison of 6,000 soldiers. 180 of those 6,000 soldiers were the brutalest, most trained killers in the Roman Empire. And those 180 soldiers of the Roman Legion would go into villages, and they would rape the women, kill the women, kill the men, and then kill the babies, and burn everything, including livestock. They did not want anything left. That's how brutal the Roman Legion was. So what does that do? What can we deduct about this demon? That this demon was probably a murderer. This demon was brutal. That's what we can deduct. For my name is Legion, for we are many. 6,000 possible demons living inside this man. Look at verse 10. He begged him, begging Jesus earnestly, that he would not send him out the country. Why? He loved being there in that country. He loved being in a Gentile country where he could do what he wanted to do. He was running around naked in the tombs. He's running around the mountainside. He's howling like a werewolf. He's cut himself, and he's scaring people half to death, breaking chains, breaking shackles. He can do what he wants to do, and he's got the power to do it right there in that region. He says, don't send me out of this country. Look what happens next. Verse 11. A large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. Mark later tells us that it's 2,000 pigs. That's a lot of pigs. That's a lot of money. 2,000 pigs are feeding out near the mountains. And so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Now this is interesting. Verse 13. There's been so many people that have criticized this verse of Scripture. They criticize our Lord and Savior. I can't believe that he would treat an animal that way. I can't believe that he would take their livelihood for them. And I'll be honest with you, I think we got people today that care more about animals than they do souls of men.
Yep.
This verse. At once, Jesus gave them permission. You who are demonically possessed today, which I hope is no one. You who are demonically oppressed today, which I know we probably have. Did you know that God, in His sovereignty, has dominion over all demons? Did you know that you don't have to listen to that idiot Kenneth Copeland that says, I bind you, Satan? Man, you can look in that dude's eyes and see he's full of a demon. But he calls himself a preacher. You don't have to listen to these maniacs tell you to bind Satan and to bind demons because Jesus Christ has already declared. Don't ever forget that. You and I have no power over Satan. We have no power over the demons, but praise God, our Lord and Savior does. He uses demonic oppression. He uses demonic possession. He uses that for the purpose of His glory because He is God. Satan went to God and said, let me have Job. What did God say? Hey. Well, this is hard to preach. I don't like preaching this. Hey. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 said there was a messenger from Satan. Angelic being from Satan, a fallen angel, a demon from Satan that went to Paul, put a thorn in his flesh, and Paul prayed three times fervently to take that prayer. He wouldn't take it. He uses it for his glory. We think about Peter.
Jesus said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And Peter was like, protect me. No. Turn you over. Remember, he even called Peter. Get behind me, who? Satan. You who are here today going through demonic oppression, realize that in the midst of the trouble, that the sun is about to shine. Because his glory will always be revealed in our trials and our tribulations. Always remember that. So, what do we have here? He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits in verse 13 went out. They entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And listen to what happens next. The herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Once the demons were cast out of the man, these 2,000 demons went into these 6,000 demons went into these 2,000 pigs. And they took off running down a hill, and the Bible says they ran violently. You mean that animals can be possessed too? Yeah, the Bible just proves it. And you need to come meet my dog after church. Listen. They ran right down into the sea, the steep place into the sea, and they drowned into the sea. And so what happened next in verse 14? Those who fed the swine, the pig farmers, they fled. They told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. They seen this taking place. And they take off running and tell the people in the city. The city come back. When we get here to verse 15, what do we see? Then they came to Jesus. Man, is this beautiful or what? They came to Jesus and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion. He was doing three things. Instead of running up and down the mountainside, instead of being in the tombs, he sat down. Instead of being naked, like Matthew and Luke says, now he's got clothes on. And the third thing that they see is they sit there and they see that he's not howling and cutting himself anymore. He's sitting there in his right mind. That only happens by the grace of God through our Savior Jesus Christ. You who are oppressed, you who may be possessed today, by God's grace through his Son Jesus Christ, he can change you into a complete new creature. Praise his name. I love that. He's sitting down. He's clothed. He's in his right mind. And look at what happens next. Yeah, they were afraid. The people were afraid. My goodness, look what happens next. Look what happens next. Verse 16. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Were they pleading with the formerly demon-possessed man? No, they were pleading with Jesus. Get out of here. We don't want you here. Get out of here. I think a lot of churches are that way too. Entertain me. Don't tell me about Jesus. Beat on some drums a little more. Don't tell me about the Bible. Don't read the Bible to me. Let me get my information out of a book. Don't give me this. Let me tell you something, folks. I think that sometimes us in the church can get just like the pig farmers. Jesus, get out of here. That's what they were doing. Notice, they would rather have crazy than they would Christ. Notice, they would rather have swine than they would salvation. That is the symbolization of somebody who is totally depraved in sin. Totally depraved. Get out of here. One preacher said they were hard-headed, hard-hearted, and hot for hell. William Barclay said that people who are totally depraved have three issues. The first issue is this: don't disturb me.
Have you ever tried to go knocking on doors around the community and evangelizing to people and talking to people? Don't bother me right now. Don't bother me right now. I don't have time for you right now.
Number two, Barkley says, don't disturb my property.
How many people out here in East Texas? Man, I'm telling you, people move out here and they become hermits. And they move out here and they put signs all over the yard, private property, do not trespass, and they build these mansions of gates around their property. Don't disturb me. Don't disturb my property. And then William Barkley is right on number three. He says, people that are totally depraved, they said, don't ever talk to me about religion. Religion. Wow. I'm seeing this in our community now. Many of us change. I used to could go to town and know everybody. Now I go to town, I don't know anybody. And you go up to introduce yourself, hey, I don't want to get to know you. I don't want a relationship. Well, maybe I come over and visit you. So, no, I don't want you coming over my house. I asked a guy the other day, I said, where do you live at? Oh, he just him hauled around. Never told me. Never told me where he lived at. They don't want you to disturb them. They don't want you to disturb their property. And don't you dare talk to them about what Barkley said of religion. Wow. But aren't you thankful that when Jesus saves our soul, he changes us into a new creature? Look at verse 18 through 20, the service now that's performed by the formerly demon-possessed man. I don't want to call him Legion anymore because his name's not Legion. I wish we knew it. He got into the boat. This Jesus gets into the boat. He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. How do I know that that demon-possessed man got saved? Because of that statement right there. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to be a disciple. He wanted to get in the boat. He wanted to go with Jesus. And he wanted to be around Jesus all the time. Praise God for you who are saved today. Don't you bask in the glory that Jesus was with us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. However, Jesus had another plan. Look at verse 19. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. What does this tell us about this man? Before he became demon-possessed, he had some fruit. Before he got demon-possessed, he had some. But remember back in the text, it said they tried to tame him and nobody could. You hear today that are trying to help the enabled alcoholic or the enabled drug addict or the enabled person that will have nothing to do with you or God. Let me tell you something. Your efforts are futile. Only God can change the heart of man. Only God. I went to a restaurant not too long ago with some friends. I seen a guy at a bar. Drowning in sorrows and alcohol. I don't condemn him for that. It's his business. But I went over to him, I put my arm around him, said, I love you, and I'm praying for you. Okay. So I got my food, sat down, ate with my friends. He never looked our way, never talked to us, never said anything to us, knew us well. Got up, said something else to him, looked straight ahead, drowning in sorrow. At one time, he had friends. At one time, he had people that loved him and surrounded him. But now he has dug his own hole. And now he's in the hole. And I can do all the things in the world to pray for him. I can do all the things in the world to go minister to him. I can do all the things in the world by hugging his neck and saying, hey, man, I'm here for you. But only God can change his heart. Only God can. So you here who today are dealing with those kind of struggles in life, and you think, well, I'm going to solve this? Nah. I used to laugh at school when people would come up with these behavior intervention plans. Oh, these are really going to work. And they bomb. Now, God's the only person that can change hearts. Go home and tell your friends, praise God, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. How many of us can do that today? How many of us can walk out of these doors and tell the world what great things the Lord has done for us? And then number two, what does he say to you? He said, tell them how he had compassion on you. Oh, man.
Only by His grace am I saved this morning. Passion that He showed Miss Nelda to a sinner like me. I can't believe this. That He saw fit to save a sinner like me. Compassion. Go home and tell your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He's had compassion on you. And look at this old boy, what he did. Did he go back to the tombs? Did he go back to the mountains? Did he go back to cutting himself? No, look at verse 20, what he did. In verse 20, he departed and he began to proclaim. Proclaim in the Greek means to herald. It actually means to preach. This is the first missionary that Jesus sent. The first missionary that we're a Baptist missionary church. Watch this. The first missionary that Jesus ever sent was a formerly demon-possessed man. If Jesus can save him, He can save you. And he changed his life, and look what happened. He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. Decapolis is 10 cities on a mountain, on a polis. Okay? 10 cities, Decapolis, on a 10 cities on a mountain range. And he went, he proclaimed what? All that Jesus had done for him. And look at what happened. The Bible says all the people marveled. When that alcoholic gets saved and he stays in Christ, what do people do? They marvel. When that drug addict changes their life because of God sending His Son for them, and they change their life, not because of who they are in a 12-step program, but because of the power of Christ and what He does in our lives. When people change like that, what do? They marvel. Jennifer, I'm going to say this, and I hope you don't get mad at me. We were here Wednesday night talking. And Jennifer was talking to Stephanie Horn and others in here about how awesome it is that we're old enough to be in church serving the Lord, and tears filled her eyes. That touched my heart. Because there's some of us in here that have gone down that stupid road. Can I get an amen? And it's only by the grace of God that you and I are here today, and all we can do is do what? Praise Him for what He's done for us. Hey, watch me. Did He do it? Yeah. We're going verse by verse in the Gospel of Mark. So I'm going to spoil you real quick. Later on down the road in a couple of months, Jesus goes back to Decapolis. When He gets to Decapolis, He gets on the shore of Galilee. He walks off the shore of Galilee. He walks into the region of Tyre and Sidon. He gets in there around Decapolis. And when He gets there, what happens? 4,000 people come to see Jesus. 4,000 people. When He came here this time, only one person came. Well, if you read the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew said there was really two. We're not going to dispute that. But what we are going to say is this. This demon-possessed man met Him the first time He came. When He comes back a couple of months later, we're going to study that in a couple of weeks. What happens next? Here's what happens next. Praise God. 4,000 people come to see Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. If Jesus has done good things for us, if Jesus has shown compassion to us, shouldn't we be telling the people out there how good He is? Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your grace. Lord, Your grace saves to the uttermost, and we praise You this morning for that. Lord, as we think about hearts here today, Lord, we've got friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and Lord, I'm thankful that Your Word says that You know everything. You know what's going on in their hearts. I don't have to say anything. But Lord, I know that You're convicting them. Lord, I know that they're children of Yours. Lord, they need to make a lifestyle change. And Lord, they're trying on their own efforts. Lord, I pray that they stop trying on their efforts. And Lord, I pray that they give it all to You. Lord, for the unsaved today that hadn't heard a word that's been preached, Lord, that their hearts are as hard as all get out, Lord, I pray today that You give them the heart of flesh, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, thank You for how good You are. We love You. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to do something different today. Normally we end with a praise. But I want us to be able to have a time of response. Which you may call it an invitation. I'm not saying it's an invitation to come to Christ. If the Lord calls you to do that, so be it. But the time today, listen, we got families hurting in this church. We got people hurting in this church. We may just need a time at the altar to pray that the Lord lift this demonic oppression off our families and off our souls. You may be here today and say, Michael, man, I know how these people fit you in the church. This is here today at New Hope Baptist Church. This is called New Hope Baptist Church because at New Hope, we believe that there is hope for everyone. And that hope comes from Jesus Christ. So today, Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Alicia, y'all come. Let's just have a couple of stanzas, some hymns. And if you feel so led, come and pray. Maybe just right where you're at. We're going to give you a time right now. Time of response. Let's stand.
Is he going to sing all of it? Is he going to sing it? He was going to sing, but I didn't know what verse.